Today on the Miracle Zone, we are joined by Jen Hand. She'll share how we might effectively lose and control our weight, but she doesn't stop there. She takes the conversation of weight loss to a deeper level, explaining how she believes eating disorders are part of the spiritual journey. Jen is a food and body image coach, creator of the Normal Eaters Club, and founder of www.jenhand.com. She helps women transform their relationship with food, fall in love with their bodies, and become one of those normal eaters. So, why not sit back, relax, and enter into the Miracle Zone? At the end, heading into the next stage, it feels like you can't make it. It feels like all hell is breaking out against you. It feels that way because you're almost there. The birth canal is the narrowest just before delivery. It's the darkest and the coldest just before dawn. Hello, I'm Pamela Chapman. Welcome to Miracle Zone, making it reality against circumstance, logic, and economics. Appropriate for today when it often seems like a changing, chaotic, and very crazy world keeps us in difficult transition. Today is Tuesday, April 10th, and we're coming to you live from my place of miracle, the beautiful Spring Rockies in Colorado. We have shifted once again. Thank you for allowing us to have some time out of your incredibly busy schedule to help guide you into your very own dream come true. I'll facilitate your journey into whatever you care to manifest for this time. So, whether you are transitioning through a job loss, career change, mate change, emptiness syndrome, retirement, loss of a loved one, life transition, or plain old limbo, we are here to help make the transition as painless and easy as possible. Today, we are live with special guest Jen Hand. She'll be sharing with us how to eat normally and heal our eating disorders. If you'd like to phone in with questions, please dial 424-675-8318. Again, if you'd like to call, speak to Jen, ask her questions, we are live. And you may reach her at 424-675-8318. But before we bring her on, let's take a few minutes to do our grounding exercise. It'll be abbreviated today so we can get Jen on, but let's do that exercise, okay? We are a spiritual podcast. So, remember, this exercise is always to be done in a safe space. So we don't do this while we're driving or walking or handling equipment, right? So in your safe space, I would like for you to join me in closing your eyes. And first, we'll take some deep breaths. So we'll inhale expanding our stomach and our lungs. Exhale, all the hot air, pushing our stomachs in as much as they will go. You ready? Let's inhale. And exhale through the nose. Good. Let's do that again together. But this time, let's imagine inhaling love. All our breath is love all together. And let's exhale love all around us, to our communities, our neighbors, our workspace. Let's try that one more time. Inhale, love. And exhale, love. What the world needs now is love, our love, right? So no matter what's going on around us, no matter the chaos, no matter the chatter, we're inhaling love and exhaling love. That's the only way we're going to raise the energy of our universe. Now, let's do our grounding exercise. So let's imagine together that we have a root coming from our tailbone, and that's our zero chakra, root chakra. Or you can imagine that root coming from the bottom of your feet. You can have two roots, one for each foot, whatever you desire. And let's imagine now that that root or roots are pushing through our seat, wherever we're seated. Continue seeing it pushing through the floor and continue seeing that root going south, down, 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 breaking through that concrete, all that hard matter on the top. See that root going through the dirt in the soil, continuing pushing its way down. Nothing painful, with ease. Now we begin to imagine our root pushing through the magma, the lava. Begin to feel the warmth, the heat, as if it's passing over coals. Just feel that root going down, nothing to be afraid of. Again, we are not penetrating hell. We are just looking for the center of the earth. This is an exercise to imagine that we are being connected and grounded to the earth. And as we begin to approach that center of the earth, we imagine that those roots that we have are latching on to that core of the earth in the center. We are latched on, and we're going to just wrap our root around just to be sure that we are grounded. Now, we know the core of the earth is not an actual magnet or a metal. I mean, it is magnetized, but I always like to imagine a metal bar in the middle of the earth. So see that, and see that root wrapping around. And as you see that root nice and grounded, now reverse the direction of the root and have it come back up to you, but now it is a solid beam of light, and it is coming up quickly, quickly, up, up, up through the magma, through the lava. Continue to see it coming up through the soil. Now see it coming up through the earth. Continue to come up to the floor of your building, of your home, wherever you are. See it come up through your seat, and now it enters your body, that beam of light. We first see it at our first chakra, and it is a red light. Continuing up to our second chakra, it is now an orange light. And now, in the middle of our tummies, our solar plexus, we see it as a light of sunshine from our psychic energy, releasing that into the earth through you, continuing up to the heart chakra. And let's just hang out in the heart chakra right now, seeing a beautiful green light Green light says go. Yes. Open my heart to love. Let me receive love. Let me give love. And as we continue up our spines, we go up to our throat chakra, and here we see a beautiful turquoise like the Caribbean Sea, so that we may freely speak our truth. And from the throat chakra, we go to our third eye, where there is a beautiful violet light right between our eyebrows, allowing us to see, to have vision, clear vision. And then we go to our crown where our God consciousness lives. And here we allow it to awaken in the white light. And today we'll go slightly outside ourselves. We'll go about 3-4 feet above or even a little higher. Doesn't matter exactly where. But here we will see the light of the universe, of God, of all creation, just above us, allowing its light to shine upon us as we go throughout this incredible, beautiful day. And now just allow that light to come back in to the crown, and we'll allow it to rest there. Okay. Wow, that feels really good. So, as you know, I always invite in the celestial team. I always pray before coming on the, what's the name of our show? That was so good. My goodness. Okay, we always pray before we pray and meditate before we begin our show, The Miracle Zone. So I've done that today. I've invited our angel team in. And the archangels working with us today are Archangel Sandalphon, and he is bringing us gifts from God. And he says, we angels bring you gifts from your creator. Open your arms to receive. Also, Archangel Metatron joins us today, Indigo and Crystal Children. And it says, you have a bond with children. In particular, you can help children who are sensitive. Now, as you know, these cards have additional messages, and interesting, it talks about helping children eat correctly. I thought that was quite fascinating because we're having Jen on talking to us about eating correctly today. And our third card is creative writing from Archangel Gabriel. And Archangel Gabriel says, make time to write down your thoughts in a journal or pen an article or book. You may get the additional messages for today on my website. And that, of course, is yucatanwellness.com. yucatanwellness.com. Scroll to the bottom, and you can see the full messages, gifts from God, Indigo and Crystal Children, and creative writing. Okay. So now, without further delay, Jen Hand is joining us from right here in Colorado. Yay! Jen, welcome.
Hi,
to the
how
Miracle
are you?
Zone.
Thank you. I'm
wonderful.
So happy to be here.
Oh, we're so happy to have you here. Thank you. Thank you so much. And it's really special to have someone from Colorado. We had a guest last week, and now we have you this week, and we don't have to wrestle with time zones.
That's
I
right.
Love it.
It's easy and clear.
Easy and clear. So, Jen, tell our audience a little bit about you. And let me just say this quickly. It's springtime, and we start thinking about our weight and swimsuits, and those of us in the cold places up in the mountains, we hibernate. So that's why it's really super special that you came up on my radar to help us get rid of some of our hibernation extras. So go ahead and tell the audience about Jen Hand, please.
Yes, yeah, so as you had mentioned in the beginning, I'm a food and body image coach, and I work with women who struggle with their weight and their bodies and always trying to lose weight and never seeming to arrive at that place where they're satisfied and confident and loving and accepting their bodies. And also really who, you know, that I have to start over tomorrow. I just overate last night. I binged on Friday, so I got to make up for it tomorrow. So, and of course, these messages are universal for men and women. I just work specifically with women. And really my coaching and my blog was born from my own struggle and my own journey of dealing with these issues and healing over the years. So a lot of what I write about and talk about really is from a very personal experience. So I'm honored to be on, and I think it's can be such a sensitive, hard topic to chat about because it seems easy. It seems weight loss seems like, right, you just eat less, you exercise more, and boom, you lose weight. And it's not really that easy. Otherwise, we all wouldn't struggle with it, right? So thrilled to be on chatting about this, especially as we get into the warm weather, because I think so many people do start to think about it again. And, you know, in the winter, we can hide and we can wear sweatshirts and big baggy clothes. And in the summer, you know, we get that like, oh my gosh, we have to wear t-shirts and things that show off our bodies. So we kind of panic and start dieting. And so, yes, I am very excited to chat about this because I think it's something that so many people struggle with.
Yes. And you know, Jen, I love to have guests on my show who actually have their own personal story. You know, I certainly believe in education and certifications, and you and I have those. But I'm always intrigued by that personal story, and that's what you are bringing to the table today. So would you mind sharing your story with us today?
Absolutely. And if I gloss over some parts and you're like, no, go deeper there, let me know, because I'm happy to dig deeper into something that I – because it's my own experience, I'm like, yeah, this is what happened. You know, let's get on to the juicy stuff. But so many people resonate with that kind of stuff. So it really
yes.
began for me probably in high school about 20 years ago, where it was a simple thought. I wanted to lose weight for prom. Seems innocent, seems simple. I gained some weight, and I was like, you know, I'm just going to order these diet pills and eat really, really few things during the day, exercise a lot. And that sort of became this catalyst of being in this diet and binge cycle, because I was so strictly dieting and restricting during those three, four months that I had lost weight, that after I had achieved my goal, I lost those 25 pounds. I then binged for a month or two where I couldn't stop eating. I was like, oh my gosh, how do I get back to where I was? And it set me up for, you know, the next 12 years of dieting and binging and not being able to find some sense of normalcy in my food. And of course, trying everything to lose weight. So any cleanse, any diet, any program, diet pills, anything that promised a solution for weight loss, I invested in, I bought, I tried. And it wasn't until I began looking deeper into the emotional piece of it, the mental piece, the spiritual piece, that I found any lasting healing. And I think, you know, dieting and weight loss programs, a lot of time what they're missing is that deeper component of looking at, hey, well, why are we using food? And for me, you know, I used food to numb myself out because I didn't know how to deal with emotions, because I was depressed, because I was having anxiety attacks, because I was living a life that wasn't true to me. So once I began looking deeper into all that, I really began to use other things to cope instead of food. And the diet and binge cycle began to sort of balance itself out, and I became much more normal in my eating.
Interesting. So let me ask you this. Do you believe that the dieting triggered the cycle, or like you're saying the emotion triggered the eating, but at such a young age, you were saying back in high school, was it the emotion at that time, or was it actually, I just want to lose the weight so I could go on a date? Am I making any sense?
Yeah, I think it was actually a combination of both. So I think I had, up until that point, you know, you kind of just, as a young kid, as a young teenager, you just eat what you want and you don't think about it. And I think that's when I became more conscious of body, of that I had just been eating tons of junk food, and it didn't matter up until that point, you know, whether it was for an emotional reason or not. And so it wasn't sort of a conscious emotional eating, which didn't happen until later. It was more of just I felt something I ate. It was an automatic reaction. So I think it was really a catalyst for both, or from both, that, yes, I was emotionally eating, and this, I just wanted to lose weight, felt like it was really innocent, and it wasn't a thought of, oh, I am emotionally eating. It was just like, oh, I want to lose weight, this is how I'll do it, and that's it, kind of thing.
Gotcha, yes, okay. Because I was just wondering, from, you know, a young woman or young girl in high school, if it was triggered, because we see so many young girls today, they are just so concerned about their looks and being thin, and you know, and so I was just kind of wondering. I was fortunate enough, I was skinny most of my life. I struggled to put weight on. And now that I'm mature, and I like to use the word mature, well, the pounds seem to hang on a lot more than they did when I was younger. But this is what I discovered for me, Jen. When I get stressed, we both have our own businesses, so, you know, we tend to work long hours, and you have expectations. And I find when I don't reach those expectations, my remedy is to go in the refrigerator and stand and look. And believe it or not, it wasn't until I was conscientious a few weeks ago, when I thought about having you on the call, I thought, I'm standing in front of this refrigerator and I'm not hungry. I'm, you know, a little bit frustrated that this didn't work out the way I wanted it to, and I'm looking for something to eat. I wasn't hungry at all. But I can see how people eat out of emotion, as you just mentioned. You know, that they just go for the food just because. It's you explain it. And I know I've kind of gotten off what we were going to talk.
No, I love that you had that awareness, because until we have that awareness, we can't do anything about it. We can't shift our patterns. We can't figure out what else we can do to soothe ourselves, to nourish ourselves. And it really is, from me, from my own struggles, identifying why I was eating, what I was using food for. And for some people, it's very extreme emotions. For other people, it's just boredom. Every single night they're bored. Right. They don't know what else to do, so they eat. So it's really identifying, okay, well, what's the purpose for food? If we're not hungry, what's that emotional need we're trying to fill? And then figuring out how to fulfill that need, really. And honestly, I think that's the crux of this whole journey. It's figuring out, well, how do we, and I love that you use the word mature, like, how do we be emotionally mature and deal with disappointments, deal with the frustrations, the anger, the sadness, without turning to food? And for me, it was, you know, I would want to throw a tantrum and just say, no, I want the ice cream to take away my frustration. I want the cookies to take away my disappointment. But you know what happens? We eat the cookies, and then we're like, oh, man, the disappointment's still there, and we're mad at ourselves for eating the cookies. So
absolutely. Then we add guilt on top of it.
Yes.
Well, it's really interesting, you know, as you're talking about this, because, again, I've really never paid attention, you know, to weight loss. I've heard, obviously, I think every woman in America and abroad has heard Oprah's story, and I really never paid attention because it wasn't an issue for me. But, you know, as you talk about eating and eating disorders, It's no different than any other kind of addiction. It's no different, what I'm hearing. It's no different than an alcohol addiction or a drug addiction, right? We turn to food to fill that gap, fill that void, to make us whole. So you talk about this being a spiritual journey some kind of way. Tell us about that.
So I think, I totally agree with that. It's definitely like an addiction or some, we're using something to fulfill the inside emptiness, numbness, or, you know, making ourselves whole. I think the problem that I hear so often, and what I thought too, was like with food, well, we can't just cut it out, like alcohol or drugs or gambling. We can't just stop. We have to eat every day. So to me, that's where the spiritual piece comes in, because it's like, right, so we have to eat every single day.
Yes.
So how do we have a positive relationship with food? How do we look more deeply at the food, which leads into, you know, the emotional realm, the spiritual realm, what we're thinking about ourselves, and heal that piece, because we're sort of forced to deal with it. We can't just cut it out. So I think the spiritual part of this is seeing food as, it's not, health isn't just physical. Health isn't just, we're not machines. We can't just feed ourselves kale smoothies, salads, and expect this sort of output. You know, we're emotional, mental, spiritual beings as well.
Yeah.
And that has to be taken into account when we eat. And it might seem counterintuitive, like, well, what does eating have to do with your spirit? But food can be a spiritual process, because what we're doing with food, we're doing somewhere else in our lives. So when you were talking about standing at the refrigerator and looking for something to eat, when I catch myself looking for food or wanting something or not, and not being hungry, that's my sign for me to say, hey, what's going on spiritually, emotionally, mentally? And really a big part of my own healing was identifying what my spiritual connection was, and not knowing at first, but being on a journey to find it, because I wanted to fill myself from the inside out and not use food to fill myself. So it was like that, you know, that just that determination to say, hey, I didn't know what it meant to spiritually connect, but I wanted to find out. And that was such a big part of my own healing, to connect within myself, to find that. Because then you can fill yourself from the inside out.
Yes. I love that, Jen, because, yeah, you are. You're standing there. You're searching. You're hungry for something. And you really don't know what that void is at the time. And it's that spiritual void. It's like you're saying, yeah, it's that connection. I need to connect with something. So I think I'll have this bowl of ice cream in the freezer, and that's not it. So then you're saying then we're left frustrated, and then the guilt is on top, and then what usually happens, we continue to eat to try to fill that void. Correct? That's what you're saying.
Yeah, and then a lot of times what happens is, so we, let's say we do that one night, and then we wake up the next day, and we're so mad at ourselves. We feel guilty. We're like, why did we do that? We knew we'd feel like crap, and then we start a diet. We're like, all right, we'll just be really good today, eat really healthy. And then it sets you up for that cycle of, like, you can't maintain it for more than a few days, and then you're overeating. So it's like, you know, this endless cycle that we think is our fault, when in reality, if you start a diet, built into that, you will overeat. Like, that is, you know, the cycle isn't just you diet. If you diet, then you go off, and you end up eating what you weren't allowed to eat. So for me, a huge part of relief was understanding, oh, there's this cycle. It's not me that's the failure, that I can't stick to this diet. It's actually built into the cycle itself. And I think when we be a little less hard on ourselves around that, it can offer some relief to say, okay, if I'm dieting, I know if I get to Friday and I've lasted, we're going to have that, oh, I'm going to go out to eat, and I'm just going to let myself have what I couldn't have all week, and that might escalate into the weekend. And, yes, that's part of the cycle. So my mission and passion really is to help people find how to get out of that cycle and find this balance where they're not dieting, they're not overeating, but they're in this very balanced state where food is pleasurable, food is enjoyable, and it's not in the extremes of dieting or binging.
So tell us about that. What does that look like? So, you know, because I've been, we eat cleaning anyway here. So my, you know, binging, for lack of another word, or today I'm just gonna have that coconut cookie. What the heck? I've been good all week. You know, that's what mine looks like. So what does breaking the cycle look like, or how do we eat normal and not be too harsh on ourselves?
Yeah, that's the million-dollar question, right? It's like, how do we get out of the cycle and just be normal around food?
That's it, Jen.
And really, that's what I desperately wanted for so long. I remember vividly so many nights just crying. I mean, I just want to eat normally. Is that too much to ask? So for me, a big part of breaking the cycle is first letting go of outside conditioning and expectations and all the shoulds, because when we've internalized so many rules and shoulds and have-tos around food over the years, that we've developed this food anxiety of like, I can't eat that, I shouldn't eat that, that's going to cause cancer, this is going to cause this, and we have so much anxiety around it. So a part of my work is to help people let go of those expectations and voices of the outside to learn how to listen to their own body's wisdom. And really, if I could say what is the single most important thing on this journey, is that, is to learn how to let go of the outside voices and tap into that voice within yourself that knows what the body needs, that knows how much, that knows when you're hungry and when you're full, and what nutrients and what meals you need, and what it, because it's like, it's not a blanket statement of carbs are bad, protein is good, or sugar is bad, and this is good. It's like different amounts work for different people, and we've lost that connection. So it's which is terrifying at first, because you don't know. We all start not know. Well, we actually start knowing when we're born. You know, little kids know exactly what they want and how much, but we've lost that over the years. So it's that unlearning of this diet book said this, this guru said that, and finding that own voice within yourself that says, hey, this is what works for me, and really strengthening that connection to that wisdom.
Wow, that's really powerful. You are reminding me of someone I met, and I remember them saying, you know, what may be good for someone, let's say, for instance, who's from Scotland, and their diet, the foods that they're used to eating, may not necessarily be good for a girl like myself whose traditional meals come from the South. So that's kind of what you're saying. It's like, well, what the foods that I'm used to eating in a clean way, because, again, I kind of do believe in the clean eating, you know, because our foods tend to be, Southerners' foods tend to be filled with a lot of fat. I mean, a lot of fat, and and that's what makes them have that really good taste. But I've learned to cook around that, you know, and give my foods flavor in a different way. But I'm saying that if you're from a different region, would that make a difference? I think that's kind of what you're saying.
Absolutely.
I'm not sure. Okay.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah. I mean, like, not only regional, but seasonal, too. So, you know, in the summer, I mean, you're not going to want to eat crockpot meals and heavy soups and creamy sauces.
Right.
Like, summer is when we want lots of fruits and vegetables and lighter things because it's hot out. So, yeah, regional, seasonal, and even different body types. You know, some people do really well with more animal protein and eating hearty in that way. Other people really need like very little animal protein. And actually I when I was getting my master's in nutrition, I learned about all of these ways of eating and what foods do to your bodies. And I became vegetarian. And for me, it didn't work for me. And that it works very well for some people, but I'm just the type of person, I need more animal protein. And it, you know, I lost a ton of weight, but not in a good way. And I had like no energy, and was very, you know, different than what I expected. And it was just sort of a learning experience to say, hey, vegetarian might be a great way of eating for some people, but for me, it's not. So really working with, and it's a learning experience, you know, you start out not knowing, so you experiment. Okay, I'm going to try having carbs in the morning. I'm going to try eating eggs and having a heartier protein breakfast, and then getting right. that feedback to say, okay, does that work? Is that keeping me full? Does that give me energy? So yeah, I think we're all so different, and that it's so hard to say this is the way of eating that works for everyone, because right. our bodies are innately different, let alone our ages, our genders, our where we live,
absolutely.
The environment, you know, our genetics, yes. all that stuff.
Yeah, all that plays into it. Yeah, yeah. So, okay, you've kind of explained to us what eating normal looks like is basically what's good for the body type. How do you come up with that, Jen? Is it just through a coaching session and questioning, or do you have a formula or a modality, something that you use to determine what a person is?
Yeah, so typically I would start out so let me back up. A lot of times when we have so many rules in our heads and so many shoulds and have been dieting and overeating for so long, we start out so confused. Like, I have no idea what my body wants, and I have no idea what foods work
right.
for me. So starting out eating protein and carbohydrates every time you eat, so typically every 3 to 4 hours. And I give people just a little bit of a formula, and I like to call it a guideline to say, okay, every time you eat, which, you know, 4 hours max, eat every 3 to 4 hours, add some protein in. And that starts out giving people some sense of focus to then build that foundation to say, okay, from that balanced place, we're not in the extremes of dieting or binging. We're eating more regularly. We're eating more often. And our bodies start to just begin to develop that trust. Okay, I'm getting fuel every few hours. It builds that foundation to say, from there, let's look at, okay, is this breakfast working for you? Are you having too much sugar that you really feel lack of energy, or you feel jittery from too much caffeine, or you really need some more protein because you have a lot of craving? So looking more in-depth at the food with a food journal to say, okay, right, so we start out with this, with some guidelines, and then let's go another step further to see how it's actually working. And a lot of times, food, you know, I like to think that our food choices change as we become more aware. So how we eat right now will look different than how we eat in 6 months or a year if we're on this conscious spiritual journey, simply just because we're more aware. Really creating that safe space for people to experiment and say, okay, don't be afraid about how you're eating right now, because that will change as you get more insight into what you're doing around food, and your patterns begin to fall away as you get more emotionally aware and as you deal with the emotions instead of using the food to cover up the emotions. So to me, it's starting at the physical with the food and then going into the mental, emotional, and spiritual, just because it's that natural progression.
Right. I like that. I can see where that would – I could see the progression of that, starting with the food, starting on the surface with the symptom, and then you delve deeper. I love that. Interesting, too, when you were talking about how your eating changes when you become aware. When I was younger, like you say, you could eat anything you want, and you don't have to think about it. And I just love chocolate. So when I was younger, I would eat the milk chocolate. And as I got older and wiser, more aware, I realized, I should eat the dark chocolate, not the milk chocolate. I should eat the dark chocolate. But it's really interesting, Jen, when I made the decision, I said, you know, I'm just going to not cut sugar out completely. Sugar's in everything, as you know. But I'm not going to eat, you know, a chocolate bar, you know, every week or something. It's interesting how the body in the beginning craves that sugar. It's amazing. Like, I would find myself wanting to climb up the wall. I was just like, I got to get sugar. and as I began to wean off of that stuff, you know, it's amazing. In a few weeks, you don't even have a desire for it anymore. I mean, I will have a piece if you know, holidays or someone comes in with a nice piece of dark chocolate, I'll have it. But it's amazing how the body can crave certain things. And when you get away from them, it's like, wow, I didn't need that at all. It's just, it's like an addiction.
Yeah, and so I love that you are bringing this up, because I think when one thing I love helping people with is reframing the language we use around food. So, like, if you tell yourself, I'm never eating chocolate again, like, sugar is bad for you, I'm never having chocolate,
mm-hmm,
we sort of get into that rebellion of, like, well, screw that. You know, you last for 5
mm-hmm
days, and then someone brings in mm-hmm chocolate, and, like, can't have it, but I want it, but you shouldn't have it. And so reframing it to look at, okay, how does chocolate make me feel? Can I have chocolate sometimes? Is there a more nutritious, nourishing snack I could have? So changing how we talk to ourselves around food can be so beneficial,
yeah, okay,
because as soon as we say, don't you dare have that cupcake, it's like, what do we think about? All we can think about is the cupcake. So looking at, okay, let's talk to ourselves in a different way around food, and then it's much easier to make that shift.
Yes, I love that, Jen, because it's so correct. It's like I always say, as soon as I say I'm going to eat right, everything I see is about food.
I know.
Oh, my gosh, I love it, eating normally. So tell me, on your blog, you have a blog and a podcast, and you're really out there making a difference. I love what you're doing. You believe there are 3 things one should remember when tempted to diet or when focusing on weight. Would you share those 3 things with us?
Yes. So when I wrote that post, I was actually, a lot of times I'll write the posts inspired by things I wish I had known when I was in my own journey, or like as a reminder to myself. I was struggling with food and my body and my weight, I swear I would just fantasize, like, I can't wait until I'm done, because it's sort of like that diet mentality of when you're done the 30 days, you know, you put in your 6 weeks, and it was such hard work at the time to think about it and be aware of it and look at emotions. I was like, I can't wait until I'm done all this. And I get to the place where I've reached my stable weight, I've lost the pounds, and boom, I don't have to look at food anymore. And the reality is that there will never be a point where we're done. And that's why,
right,
I love that you host a spiritual podcast, because I can talk about that aspect of it. You know, our spiritual journey is never done. And it's that same with food. Our bodies are always changing. We never get to the place where it's done. Like, life isn't static, our food isn't static, our bodies aren't static. So when we can really understand that there's no desperation, there's no finish, like desperation to get to the end, there's no finish line we have to reach, it frees up the space to say, right, every day will be a journey. And I might make great decisions, I might make decisions I am going to learn from, but it's all on that path. So remembering that we are never done with it. And for me at first, when I heard that at first, I was like, no, but I want to be done. I don't want to have to think about this forever. But it was reframing it to say, okay, I'm going to think about this forever, but it's not going to be in the same way. The way I look at food now is so different from when I was struggling, because it's much more automatic. I'm much more in tune with myself. And so we learn to the patterns and the thoughts and the reactions that we have, we create new pattern thoughts and reactions. And so it might be at a much deeper level where we're not quote unquote done. So to me, it's trying to give that freedom to say there's no end, which means you can never make a mistake. It's all learning. It's all lessons. It's all feedback to take with you into the next day, the next week. So that's the first thing. And the second thing was weight loss seems simple, but it's really more complicated than eat fewer calories, work out more, because hormones, metabolism, stress, you know, what we were talking about before, different bodies work better with different foods. It's not just a simple formula. And food serves a purpose in our lives, not just physically, but emotionally, mentally, spiritually. So if it were that easy, just cut out this and you'll lose weight, you know, we wouldn't have this epidemic in the States and in so much of the world. So remembering that it's not giving yourself some, you know, letting go of that criticism a bit, because it's not as easy as the weight loss gurus and diet programs make it sound. If it were, we wouldn't have all these struggles. And for me, what helped with that was moving it from the focus on weight loss to focusing on health, because health is truly a lifelong journey. You know, we're always reevaluating our health and finding new ways to nourish ourselves and to satisfy ourselves and to take care of ourselves. And so when I shifted it from weight loss to health, it became a much looser, free-flowing, wide, winding path that made it easier for me to not fall off the diet or not fall off the tightrope, and to create this big picture vision and realize that, right, I'm going to look at my health forever because it's important to me.
Absolutely.
And the third piece of that would...
If I can just interject, you're taking a holistic approach in your program. You're looking at, like you said, mind, body, soul, the whole approach to healing.
Yes, absolutely. Because if we just look at the food, like, you know, food is 100% a part of the healing path, looking at that.
Yeah.
And it's also mental, emotional, and spiritual. So, yes, absolutely a holistic versus, I mean, when you think about the focus on weight loss, it becomes so restrictive. Like, I can't wait to get to the end of the 30 days. I can't wait to have a carb again. I can't wait to have something with sugar in it. It becomes this journey about the end point. Like, I can't wait until I get there. And, and it just mitigates the entire journey in and of itself. So, absolutely. The whole
it takes you out of the now moment, because like you said, you're always looking forward to, I got to get to this next point, I got to get to this next weight, and like you said, it just bypasses the entire journey. I just love it, because now it's, you know, again, we believe in that clean eating and we help our clients to eat clean. And I just love the way, the language that you're using around this whole thing. It's beautiful.
Okay, so I just
want to throw that in. I'm sorry. You can tell us the third point,
that's okay.
Or you can add to the to what you just said.
So the third piece of it was for me remembering, and this took me so long to learn, and I'm still learning it at deeper levels, but the goal we have, especially around weight, is always moving. So let's say you want to lose 10 pounds. You get that 10 pounds, and then you're like, just 5 more pounds. And then you lose those 5 pounds, and then you don't like something else about your body, and you're like, a couple more pounds. So it becomes this really unsatisfying journey, because you can never achieve what it is that you want. And I remember so vividly losing all of the weight that I had wanted, standing in front of the mirror, and like, this was it. This was the moment that I wanted to fit in this size, and I wanted to fit in this dress. And I just remember looking in the mirror and thinking, and I still don't like my body. I still didn't like my stomach, my thighs, you know, criticizing myself in the same way I did at the heavier weight. And so it was a huge wake-up call for me to say, oh, wow, the weight loss isn't the answer. My target will never be satisfied. It's always going to be one step ahead. So what else is there?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's the key. It's loving ourselves. And so many times we look in the mirror and we don't love ourselves. That self-love, that self-appreciation, I heard about, are you still there, Jen?
Yes.
Okay. I was in my meditation class 2 weeks ago, and I've been on a spiritual journey, you know, for a long time, Jen, and it's just amazing. I know you are discovering the same thing, the depths, the levels that we can go to. And I have always, I say affirmations and declarations, and there is a verse in Scripture back in Genesis when Moses, you know, said God has sent him to free the Israelites, and he says, well, what am I going to say to these people, you know? he can barely speak. You know, he has a speech impediment. So what am I? Who am I supposed to say sent me? So the answer to that in Scripture is, I am that I am. That's the response. And so literally 2 weeks ago, I was in meditation with my meditation mentor coach, David Sandercott. He's been on our show. And he said, I am that which I am. He added one word. And that, I mean, even as I say it today, resonates so much, because I believe as women, we are always striving for something more. We're never happy with our hair color, our hair length, with the size of our thighs, right, the size of our hips.
Yes.
But if you just take that one statement, I am that which I am, right now, at whatever time it is on April 10th, Jen and Pamela, we are that which we are. Now, that doesn't mean we can strive for more or for better, but right now, we are that which we are. And you know, that's a lovely place to be. And you're a lovely woman.
I love that.
I mean, you're just amazing. And I love the wisdom that you're bringing to women around their weight and delving into the real issues. That's amazing.
Thank you.
Go ahead, sweetheart.
I was just going to say that I am that which I am, to me, translates into that body acceptance, and that
that's
because
right.
it anchors you in the now of saying, no, I don't have to lose those 20 pounds. I can be that. Mm-hmm. I can be where I am. Yeah,
yes.
I can still want to change, and
yes.
I can also accept mm-hmm. myself and be what I am right now.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I know when I heard it, it brought me right to the now, you know, right there, because, you know, successful, we're always striving in everything. Be more successful. But I am that which I am. Yeah. Thanks for sharing that. If you had one thing for our audience to remember, you brought us so much wisdom. But one thing, if you'd want them to take that one thing away, what would that be, Jen?
I love that question, and I would say, because you host a spiritual podcast, my one thing to remember would be that food, your struggles with food, your battle with your weight, is that doorway into the spiritual realm, whatever that may be for you. So when
right.
you're struggling with food, you know, it's just pointing you there.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be my, because your listeners would resonate with that. Not
yes.
everyone does.
Yes.
You know, some people
right.
are at a different level. So,
right.
yeah, I think
right.
it really is that it's a spiritual journey. It's pointing you somewhere else. And so
mm-hmm.
be open to that message.
Okay. Thank you. Now, tell us how – well, before you tell us how we can get in touch with you, do you have any books? Do you have information that they can take away, resources? And then tell the listeners how they can get in touch with you, please.
Yes, so I actually just finished my first manuscript for a book. It's in editing right now. So I don't have a current book, but stay tuned
okay.
because I will soon, which has been a long labor of love and many, many years of being blocked and then finding my way.
Yes.
But I have tons of blogs and videos and resources on my website at www.jenhand.com. That's JennHand.
Okay, jenhand.com. I'll put this up on the website. And so when individuals listen to the show, we get a lot of people podcasting all week long, Jen, they'll be able to find you when they go there. Is there anything else you want to give us as far as contact? When's the best time? Anything?
No, I think that's it. Yeah, just my website is the best way to reach me. And this
okay.
was just such a fun conversation. And it really is, yeah, what a wonderful show you have, because so needed to really point people into that deeper space.
Yeah.
So thank you.
It's all about that. You are absolutely welcome. And I'm going to ask you right here, right now, you know, we have retreats, and I know you do the same thing. And so if I have a group that's interested in talking about their weight, would you be interested to come out and
oh,
speak
definitely.
And bring us a session or, yeah, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay.
I love in-person retreats, so absolutely. Yes.
Okay. I love it. Keep up the great work, Jen. Thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule to join us on the Miracle Zone. We love you and wish you the best of success.
Thanks, Pamela.
You are welcome. Thank you. Have a great day. And to the rest of our audience, we love you as well. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your loyalty. And next week, we will have Mike Vinny, and he will be talking to us about mental health, the stigma around mental health and the spiritual journey he has had in that. And hear you next week. Love you all. Bye-bye.